The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
The government has predicted that up to 700,000 people in the state should be vaccinated against COVID-19 by the end of March, if all goes according to plan. As vaccine supplies increase, how can we ensure that it's rolled out rapidly to the population? Well, it's been reported that the HSE is in talks with the Defence Forces about drafting in army personnel to help administer the vaccine. It's also looking like pharmacists will be involved in the rollout of the vaccine once the Oxford AstraZeneca shot is approved for use. Now, we're joined by security analyst Declan Power, former army officer, and by community pharmacist and the Secretary General of the Irish Pharmacy Union, Dara O'Loughlin. Good morning to you both. Declan, how could the army help?
Well, twofold, as you've alluded to already, Pat, in the in the fact that the army can second people from the medical corps to assist with the administration of the vaccination. But that would be the thin end of the wedge. The main contribution that the Defence Forces can make is in terms of the logistic rollout, particularly of the vaccine, particularly when we get vaccines that are less cumbersome to distribute, such as the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine, because I would imagine that is when it would become a bit more complex logistically. You will have the ability to store that in small amounts in GP surgeries, in pharmacies throughout the country, and they won't have the facilities to store large amounts of this. So constant supply from distribution points all around the country will be essential, and maintenance of distribution points all around the country. And that is something, that is something that the Defence Forces, it's sort of their stock and trade, doing that and planning for such a system to be able to be sustained appropriately under a degree of duress and stress.
Well, obviously, companies like FedEx, OnPost, whoever do deliveries, they'll say, oh, we could do that. And they might fight for the right to make money from that as distinct from the army, which would be cheaper. The only thing involved, probably a bit of overtime.
Well, I would agree. I mean, that it would be, I would say it would be a substantial cost if you were to contract that out to an external source. Which I think would be silly based on the fact that we have that resource within the Defence Forces. But also the planning of something like this is something that is the under the purview of a military. They are configured to be able to put together a plan to address a strategic need, and then to ensure that all points are covered and that there are fallback elements to it.
Okay, we seem to have lost Declan momentarily. We'll come back to Declan. Dara O'Loughlin, who's the Secretary General of the Irish Pharmacy Union, have you been told what pharmacy role will be in the rollout of the various vaccines?
The pharmacists are well used to administering vaccines anyway, because we've been doing flu vaccines in huge quantities in pharmacies for a decade now. We have had a lot of discussions with the HSE and the Department of Health about pharmacy's role in this, exactly how it will work in pharmacy. The key thing for us is, of course, although almost every pharmacist in Ireland wants to be part of the vaccination effort and to try and get our country and our society back to normal, we can't administer one vaccine until we've been vaccinated ourselves. And there's no sense of urgency in government around getting pharmacists and their teams vaccinated so that we can put our shoulder to the wheel and actually start delivering vaccination for the public.
Yeah, I mean, I would have thought that you guys are on the front line anyway. If you're meeting people who are coming in to have prescriptions filled, and you are open because you're an essential service, where are you in the pecking order for vaccination?
Well, as far as there is a pecking order, it seems like we're always next, but never quite there. So we do thankfully now see our GP colleagues getting vaccinated. They've started that this week. But we still have no date for when pharmacists and their teams will get vaccinated. And pharmacists are very much on the front line, serving people, serving patients and providing healthcare all day, every day on a face-to-face basis. There's no option for a pharmacist to close the doors and move to telephone consultations. We have to physically be there. We have to physically see people and provide the care that we provide. So it's a huge issue.
Do you accept that it won't be Pfizer or Moderna that you'll be administering? It will be AstraZeneca.
That's the decision that has been made. Like even the Pfizer vaccine survives adequately at 5 days outside of that extraordinary deep freeze, -70, but in a regular fridge. But for logistical reasons, it has been decided that it's the AstraZeneca vaccine and then subsequent vaccines that can, if you like, live in an ordinary fridge that will be administered in GP and pharmacy.
Now, do you have any calculation as to how many you could vaccinate per day or per week if every pharmacy got involved?
Well, if every pharmacy got involved, I think you could see hundreds, if not thousands, of vaccines being done on a weekly or monthly basis in pharmacy. Remember, GPs and pharmacists combined.
That's not the kind of number I'm looking for, hundreds or thousands. I'm asking you, in the pharmacy union, have you actually done the sums and said to the HSE, listen, this is what we've done with the flu, but with proper logistics, this other number is what we can offer for AstraZeneca. Have you done that calculation yet?
250,000 for the flu in pharmacies in 6 weeks in the context of not being able to get nearly enough vaccines. We could have done double that easily. We could have done 500,000 in 6 weeks, but we didn't have the vaccines because the vaccines weren't in the country. And then when they were delivered, the HSE directed those stocks to where people had got their vaccine the previous year. So I'm satisfied we can do hundreds of thousands of vaccines pharmacy in a month.
If you matched your flu performance in 6 weeks, you could have done 500,000. You have to divide by two because it's a two-shot vaccine. But still, it's very significant numbers indeed. Every 6 weeks, 250,000 people are protected. So that would be a huge contribution in addition to all the others. Look, Dara, thank you very much for joining us. Declan Power is still there. Declan, you were finishing an answer on logistics when I lost you there. The person. Do we have the personnel available in the army to actually mount something that might go on for probably another 6, 7, 8 months? Would the army have the personnel to give an ongoing commitment to be able to deliver those logistics?
Well, it's a good point, Pat. They just about would. Actually, in many respects, the army would be in a better position to provide for the logistical support of the distribution of the vaccine as opposed to administration of it. Because the numbers in the army have dwindled, they have been let dwindle rather shamefully by past governments. The medical corps in particular was one of the areas that has shrunken considerably. So expectations of the medical corps being able to provide mass field hospitals and things of that nature, like happened up along the border at the start of the Troubles, were erroneous. However, the logistics side of things, that is very much the spine of what makes a military work. And there's no sugarcoating it. It would take a huge effort. There would be manpower probably drawn from other areas. But it is something that the Defence Forces are very well calibrated to do. And it is something that they have done abroad and overseas operations. There was a Defence Forces transport and logistics company that was among the first of troops deployed to the international mission in Kosovo. And as going back to the point I was saying, it's not just actually the vehicles to distribution points. It's the planning for this, and it's the adaptation of that type of plan to the needs on the ground that is very much a stock and trade that marks a defence-related asset to do this as opposed to a civilian contractor.
Yeah. I mean, we are talking perhaps about drive-in vaccination centres where you get vaccinated, you know, you get processed, you get vaccinated, but you have to park up maybe for 15 minutes to make sure that everything is okay before you drive on. And I could imagine military personnel checking on these vehicles to make sure there's no one having a seizure inside a vehicle and so on. So I can see where the army would come in. Look, Declan, interesting ideas. And I know the HSE is talking to the Defence Forces on some level. We'll see how that evolves. Declan Power, security analyst, thank you very much.